We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone with what has become our weekly three and out during the football season. We give you three teams, two Division I teams, Minnesota's two D1 teams, the Gophers and the Tommies, and the best D3 school in Minnesota, and one of the best in the country, St. John's University. By the way, their rugby team also won. They're 2-0. Let's start with the Gophers, though. The Gophers, didn't go so well for them.
No, and I wasn't really expecting it to go very well either, Bob. I mean, this was, if I recall correctly, I think this was the game that they agreed to and then tried to get out of and couldn't, and so they had to play it because they're playing, you know, a ranked team in North Carolina, which, you know, Gophers need all the cream puff exhibition games they can get. It wasn't a, you know, a complete rout. It wasn't an embarrassment, but they, you know, it was a loss that they didn't need, but, you know, they go into the season 2-1 at this point.
Well, they're already in the season. They played Nebraska in the first game of the season. Yeah, the Big Ten season began.
That was odd too, that they're starting out. Normally your exhibition season, you play three non-conference teams.
Usually
start out with a Big Ten opponent. Was, it's just an odd season, but, you know, they, again, I think we talked about it before, Bob. They have what some have said is the toughest schedule in the NCAA this year. So, you know, this, they're going to, it's going to be a, it could be a long season for the Gophers.
You know what, Jeff, the seasons are going to get longer because once you get UCLA and USC and Washington and Oregon in, I don't think they're going to have these three preseason games. I don't see how they can to play a Big Ten schedule with all the teams that are going to be involved. They might be playing all Big Ten teams or with maybe one non-conference opponent on the schedule. That's going to take some doing.
But I know they've got Michigan this year. They've got Ohio State. I mean, they play all the perennial playoff teams are on the Gophers schedule this year. So, if you're a Gophers fan, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Well, if you're a Vikings fan, it's already interesting. I mean, the mess going on with them, and you know, and then you got this issue with Alexander Mattison. I mean, I've talked about that already in the opening segment, and it's horrible that 2023 and there's still people going with racism on these people. Should be, as I've said it before and I'll keep saying it, they should be banned from social media. If you do something like that, get rid of them.
I want to believe it's the Eagles fans, because, you know, they have the reputation for, you know, eating horse crap and
I don't think
batteries. I think, unfortunately, I think it's Vikings fans.
It's fans. No, it's fantasy football fans are part of it. And Vikings.
Keyboard warriors.
Yes, keyboard warriors. But, I mean, he mentioned fantasy football, he being Madison. And the other problem is it could be people who lost bets because of his fumble or that they just were upset. I mean, some of them are telling him to commit suicide. These people are just sick.
There's no place for that.
All right. Well, we've talked about it a bit, but I want to ask you now. We got the other D1 school, but first, let's break it up with the D3, one of the best D3 teams, the Johnnies.
Yeah, they've got their game of the year for the regular season next week. They're on a bye this week. So they were the only, you know, our three schools, they're the only one that didn't lose. Spoiler alert to our next team.
Yep.
But you know, they play Bethel next week, and that really, you know, to use the old line from Brent Musburger, this one's going to be for all the Tostitos. I mean, this is really, when it comes to the MIAC, it comes down to St. John's and Bethel. I mean, none of the other schools have ever stepped up to be anywhere near as competitive as those two programs. So it really is the result of the you know, unless one of those teams suffers injuries or has some crazy upset from one of the, you know, from one of the also ran schools, it really comes down to Johnnies and Royals. I like the Johnnies' chances.
I do too. But you know what, Jeff, I'm trying to think back when I covered. I did a lot more MIAC when John Gilardi was the coach of the Johnnies, and my recollection is, and you may recall differently, but has there been a team other than the Johnnies, the Tommies, or Bethel to win an MIAC championship? So for some reason, is there a Concordia in there somewhere? Somebody else?
No,
but I don't think it is. I think it's those three for decades.
There was one time, and I don't remember how long ago it was, Bob. Believe it or not, it was Carleton.
Oh, Carl, okay.
That won the conference that one year. You know, Augsburg is always kind of on the cusp of something. Concordia is always tough, especially at home. But they just haven't put together the consistent, dominant program that, well, you know, that the Tommies did when they were there, but specifically the Johnnies now are the ones that, and Bethel stepped up too. You know, Bethel's
been good for years, though, but they just happen to play in the same, you know, conference with the Tommies and the Johnnies. So it has, now they have one less team to worry about because it's just them and the Johnnies.
Right. But I think the Johnnies made a good move scheduling exhibition games against Trinity and Whitewater because it gave them a preview against two potential playoff opponents. And I can't help but think that playing schools like that, those tough programs like that, is only going to help.
Not going to hurt them.
Against Bethel and some of these other schools.
No, absolutely. It will make a big difference. And I agree with you. I think they're going to wind up winning, just like their rugby team did. I keep throwing that plug in because my kid's on the rugby team. He told me he got a yellow card today, which puts you 10 minutes in the box for tackling too high. Anyway, the Tommies. How about your alma mater?
Yep.
Tough one again. It's tough in that. I mean, it's tough in the arena, as Mike Lynn, the former Vikings general manager, used to say.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, you know, we talked about last week about, you know, why these three schools, why they would schedule the exhibition games that they do. And I think with St. Thomas, you know, part of what they're here, they're in year three of the Division I era. They have 5 years where they can't be in the playoffs. They won the conference. They won the Pioneer League last year. So
why not schedule them?
Well, exactly. You've got to play these, you know, you've got to play these schools. You've got to play scholarship schools. You've got to play Ivy League schools. You've got to play these different programs to figure out where you need to get better and where you measure up and where you maybe don't. You know, they it wasn't even close. I mean, I think it was 27-0 at halftime, and it was like, I think it ended like 45-13 or
Harvard.
Something like that. But yeah, they get to know, you know, apparently, Bob, the Gophers have never played Harvard. So St. Thomas goes down as the first Minnesota Division I school to play Harvard. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's neat to play. And it's Harvard.
Right.
Harvard.
But you know, there's more work to be done for the program. But we knew that you don't go from Division III into Division I in 3 years be a world beater. There's going to be work. So I know that Glenn Caruso has circled on his calendar that game in 2 years from now at Target Field with NDSU. And I think that really is kind of what I call the Ric Flair game, right? To be the man, you got to beat the man. They got to find out where they measure up against a powerhouse like NDSU before they can even think about moving up to a scholarship conference like Missouri Valley or something like that.
Agreed. Now, let me ask you about the Vikings. How bad will they finish? Do you think they'll rally and have a good record? I was talking to Dave Bialke about this. If you're an opponent and you got the Chargers coming up and then the Chiefs, you run on that team until they prove they can stop you. After what the Eagles did, you know, 259 rushing yards, over 250. You run on them, and then if they don't stop you, you just keep running. Doesn't matter if you're a passing team.
I will say this, Bob. I didn't have high expectations for them going into this year, given how many of the veteran players that they shed. You know, they're basically getting ready. You know, they've got the last year of the Cousins contract. They're trying to free up cap space to do some things next year. So I didn't really put 2023 as a big year for the Vikings. What I didn't expect is how sloppy they have been with ball handling. And I think Kevin O'Connell's a good coach, right? You know, not holding on to the football, that's a kind of a discipline.
But you know what? It's seven turnovers. However, Brandon Powell, bad turnover. Madison, bad turnover. But any quarterback would have lost the ball with the way Cousins got chopped. And I'm not a big Cousins guy, but I don't put it on him. And that Justin Jefferson, that touchback rule needs to be changed. If it's a call, the other team did not recover, it's a fumble out of bounds, and you get it at the one. That's what it should be. It's ridiculous the way they have that thing set up with the touchback rule. They need some review.
You know, and they keep suffering more injuries on the offense.
Oh, the left tackle and center.
Yeah, already substandard offensive line, and now they're losing starters. So this is if that unless I'm going to say this, Bob, they've got. I know they're banking money because they want to try to extend Justin Jefferson. But if they don't do something about the offensive line during the season.
Horrible. It'll be horrible.
It'll be a long, long, long season.
All right, Jeff. Jeff, thank you. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. We'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.